And we're back again for another exciting week of the Expressway. I'm Charles, Show Me the Way, here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor, and we are here to bring you a jam-packed 35 minutes of New York Giants, New York Jets, NFL football, and any other sporting news that is relevant to the BT Express and myself, the one-way show. And we are back and talking about our dreadful New York football teams, Jets and the Giants. At least the Jets were able to pull out a exciting win, and I use exciting loosely because it shouldn't have been exciting. Exciting win against the Jaguars, especially without Trevor Lawrence at quarterback. I think everyone was surprised that the Jaguars were still even in the game. So kudos to their backup quarterback. But this is about the Giants for the first half of the show. We'll talk about the Jets the second half. We'll also take a look at another future prospect that the Giants may be picking number one and could potentially draft in next year's 2025 draft. And then we'll take a look at the NFL, AFC, NFC playoff race, as well as talk through our picks for week number 16. But BT, it's all about the G-men right now.
Well, the thing about it is that the big talk about this week is, should Brian Daboll come back and Joe Shane, should they come back, or should they come back individually or as a group or whatever? But see, the thing about it is that I see a lot of positive things, and I was going to ask you, first of all, you know, when we played, we didn't make a lot of money, so at the end of the season, you'd see guys who may not play that hard, you know, and nowadays, the gigantic sums they're making, regardless of what happens, you have to play hard anyway. Because I remember last game of the season, whatever, that I saw guys that didn't really come up to make the tackle at times. They're playing hard for Brian Daboll. Is that any indication that he should come back as a head coach?
I think to a certain extent, yes, it is. Because obviously, as an individual, they still believe in him. They still believe in him as a leader, which is always positive. I think when you look at the Jets, they're playing hard, and they don't have anything to play for either. But they know that head coach won't be there next year. There's going to be a new person in that position. So it's hard for me to say. When I played and we weren't on, and I was on some bad teams during those last two Dan Reeves years, we played hard. We were in every game the last couple of games, and we still lost them, but we played hard up until the very last, you know, quarter. So I think that was a combination of people playing for jobs too, because they knew there was going to be a change coming, and they wanted to make sure that they solidified their spot. And I think when you're in that position, you know how that player, if that player should be a building block for the future, depending on how he conducts himself the last few weeks of the season, especially when you know that you don't have any playoff aspirations.
Well, how do we look at it? Because at the beginning of the season, you and I both had optimism on what the Giants could do. But see, my thing, too, is that maybe little things here or there could have made the difference, because they started out terrible against the Minnesota Vikings, and it kind of went down from there. I thought they were going to beat them because Danny Jones had previously beat them. But Danny Jones, and I always said it, don't get me wrong, he's not bad, but he didn't learn how to slide. He didn't learn little things of the quarterback. They probably could have prevented him from getting hurt as much as he did. So, and then when they didn't franchise him, and they did the opposite for a guy who I think is a super person in Saquon Barkley, how do I think about that as the moves that coulda, shoulda, woulda? Because every time you do something, even yourself, you look at it, what could have happened?
I think when you look at the entire season, first, it was tepid optimism, because we were hoping that Brian Daboll could put a rabbit out of his hat again like he did his first season, which nobody thought they would make the playoffs. And I think that was the type of year people were hoping for this year, given the talent level wasn't up to the caliber of a Philadelphia Eagles or even a Minnesota Vikings or a Detroit Lions, for that matter, right? When you look at the top three teams, Minnesota, Detroit, and Philly, you wouldn't put the Giants in that category man for man in that top-tier category. So it was a tepid optimism that they would be able to find lightning in a bottle again and do something spectacular and keep the team in games. But what's disappointing for me is that I think from an offensive and defensive scheme perspective, I don't think the schemes allowed them to have much success based on the talent they had on the field.
So you're saying that the game plan was not conducive to the type of players that they had. I'm just trying to break it down.
I am saying that because basically knowing the type of team that you have, I'm old school, and obviously a lot of our thinking, especially playing in a different era, we have a jaded outlook on the game today. And I would, if I knew that I didn't have a top-tier quarterback and I played with some quarterback that you wouldn't consider top-10 level quarterbacks, the game plan was always not to put the ball in the quarterback's hand and put the game in his hands, in essence. You put the ball on the ground, let your front five run the ball. It makes it easier on them anyway instead of having to pass block 30 to 40 times a game, run block. I think if you ask 99% of all linemen, they want to run block as opposed to pass block. And so give them the ball, allow them to run, and give them an opportunity to just get in the game. Control tempo, control time of possession. You don't put your defense on the field. And that's another thing. Our defense, given our defensive personnel, do we have the personnel to actually consider that defense an elite defense when you look at Philly, when you look at Detroit? And look at Detroit. How many injuries have they had on defense? And they're still a top-tier defense.
Well, as I break it down and look at it even from an offensive standpoint, because people say to me, well, Danny Jones didn't have a chance. Once Brian Daboll brought his turnover ratio down, and both throwing the ball and interceptions and fumbling, the Giants always had a chance. But then, breaking it down, he goes and does maybe a five-yard out with, say, Saquon Barkley. Barkley has got to slow his momentum down because the ball is not accurate and then regain the momentum that he had. As I look at other quarterbacks, I see Pat Mahomes throw the ball on the money where the receiver can just take it and go for extra yardage. That is the difference I see. And I do believe, people say, well, it's not just the quarterback. You need this, you need a tackle. I believe the quarterback makes that big of a difference where he can compensate for a couple of bad players. I believe that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I totally agree. When you look at the Ravens, when they played the Giants, you see how Lamar Jackson actually, he tried, and I'm not a Lamar Jackson fan.
I know that. But
he tried to actually stay in the pocket, run around, look for players to get open, which he found a lot of guys come open after he ran around about for 30, it seemed like a minute running around, not getting touched, but running around for a few seconds, buying time so the receiver can get open. I think they play off, like the Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs, play off of their quarterback better than any other teams in the NFL.
Well, see, I still think that if you're accurate as a quarterback, I got to put Joe Burrow of Cincinnati in that neighborhood also, and even Justin Herbert of the L.A. Chargers in there. There's probably only about 10 great ones because there's so many ones who have lack in different things. Even the guy from Minnesota who used to play with the Jets, people say the Giants should get him in the offseason. It's just too much stuff to do. Should the Giants go after number one or number two quarterback, or do they do something else and bring in a veteran like Sam Donaldson or something to kind of take over?
I think that was one of the questions. I saw something. I was reading something. Maybe it was on social media or one of the papers or one of the blogs. They were mentioning that we should try to, go after Derek Cousins as a stopgap. And to give the young rookie quarterback time to develop. I'm like, what? What? We're not trying that experiment. We went down that road a couple of times. I don't think it's a successful road. I think from now on, just put that young quarterback in there and let him play, especially if you can't find anybody that can take over and actually hold down the position with quality play that gives you a chance to win every game.
But you know what might be fun, though? Because I still think Brian Daboll is a quarterback whisperer. I do. It's just that he's not had great stuff to work with. If they do bring him, say, the number one or number two, Sanders, Shador Sanders or the kid from University of Miami, if they do bring them, will he be able to mold them in by the time the season starts into the type of quarterback that he wants? Because he's going to be dealing from like a plate of dough, a plate of where you can mold it any way you want. Should he be given that opportunity?
I think he should. I think you. But there is, like, we talk about this and we've debated this on a number of occasions. Look at the Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud example. One played right away and had success. One played right away and didn't have success. One sat the bench for a little bit, and now he's coming back and he's playing better, right? And so is there an argument to say if you can find a good veteran quarterback that doesn't cost a lot of money, does it make sense? Look at Mac Jones and what he did last week with the Jaguars.
Exactly.
He still ended up being Mac Jones and throwing interceptions and what have you, but he kept the Jaguars in the game, made a lot of good reads, looked like a serviceable quarterback that he may have made himself some money off of that one game last week.
Well, I think it's just so difficult from a general management to make a good decision because half of them are going to be wrong. I mean, look how many quarterbacks did not make it. And anyway, what is your thoughts on the Giants' defense as we recap the game against Baltimore? Because I feel bad that they put up that many points on the board, and that's something that's un-Giant-like.
Yeah, I think it comes down to personnel again. There are a lot of players out. Dexter Lawrence is out. I know Akeraka was out. One of the cornerbacks were injured, and the safety is out. I think Pinnock is out. You know, so you had a lot of critical players at key positions out and unable to play. And so when you're playing with second and third string guys back there versus a championship, potentially championship caliber team, it's going to be tough sledding for the entire game. And that's what it was. You can see that they were just outmatched on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, from the offensive standpoint, they had too many injuries. And I've looked at the kid from Evan Neal from Alabama, number one draft choice a couple of years ago, and he's playing a lot, but I don't know what to think because in his position, he should be, you know, making a difference. Like if you were from some other place and watching, you should be able to notice his play, but I don't know if that's the case.
Yeah, I don't think he's doing too bad. I was able to watch him a couple of series, and he kind of held his own. He was serviceable. I think that when you look at the offensive line, if they are healthy, I think they have a solid group, a solid six or seven. I mean, because obviously Evan Neal was hurt, and so Illuminor, you had Runyon Jr. was playing, John Michael Schmitz is over there too. So you had a serviceable six or seven guys that I think they can go into the trenches with and be successful. I think there are some question marks is, are the receivers getting the type of development that they need? Is Malik Nabers getting the type of development based on the fact that he doesn't have a good signal caller back there to deliver him the ball, get him the ball in the positions, and to get him where he needs to be? That's why I'm like a Shador Sanders fan, is because he loves the deep ball. He has a great relationship with Travis Hunter and the other kid on the other side that's probably another NFL caliber player. I forget the name of the receiver at Colorado on the other side, but he throws a nice deep ball. He wants to get the ball to his playmakers. He'll give them a chance to make plays, and I think that's what's missing from this team is we don't have a quarterback that will give these players the ability to make the play. Tim Boyle did it a little bit. He targeted Malik Nabers a whole lot, gave him a chance to go up and grab the ball. He made a couple of great catches. But the disappointing part, ultimately, not so the offense, but I was disappointed in the defense and how they played.
Well, see, the thing about it is I like Malik Nabers, and I think he's going to be an integral part of the Giants if he does not get discouraged. And so I like what the Giants are doing. He's got a chance to be Rookie of the Year. So the future of the Giants is, I think it just depends on who they get at quarterback. Now, I think I'm going to go over to your side and say something, that they should get Shador Sanders. And this is Cam Ward like University of Miami. But think about it, he doesn't have enough starts. So like even Shador Sanders has got 4 years of starting in the NFL. This guy, I think he only has two, maybe three. And I think that you need more time in college. It's like you need to bake enough. You know, you put the right temperature in.
Yeah, I totally agree. When you look at some of the video that we're going to pull up here in a second, you're going to be able to see what he can do as a ball player, right? Because I like how he does sit in the pocket. He does get the ball to the receiver. But when you looked at him at the beginning of the season, he had poor decision-making. He threw tons of interceptions, and he made bad decisions with the ball.
Yeah, but see, you have to see if a quarterback can get better from week to week. And sometimes when the quarterback has to throw, you know, at different times, it really shows the best who the quarterback is. So, you know, I just think that he needs to cook a little more. But then again, last year might have been one of the great quarterback drafts in a long time. And see, I don't think you're having that this year, so you have less of a choice. And the Giants have a great need at the QB position.
Yeah, when you look at all these you Miami guys, they are totally in love with this kid, Cam Ward. And I don't think you can go wrong. I think it's the same situation. It's a Bryce Young and CJ Stroud situation all over again. I think both of them are probably ahead of Bryce Young as far as from a physicality standpoint. Both are probably bigger and more athletic than Bryce Young.
Yep.
But you just never know. I think Cam Ward is more mature and has more of a QB body, heavy. You know, he's not easily taken down. I think Shador Sanders' frame is a little bit slimmer.
Exactly.
I worry about him being able to take up the slack and take the pounding that may occur going with a Giants team that may not have the offensive line. We just talked about the offensive line, but I think he should be fine with the offensive line. They have improved. But you just worry about him, his durability.
Well, like I said, my key quarterback thing is get rid of the ball when you can. Don't hold the football. And you know, if you got to throw it away, do it instead of taking the sack. I see too many quarterbacks take the sack, and that puts teams in third and long, second and long. That it's hard to run offense like that.
Yeah, and I think if whatever happens, given the next 3 weeks, they got the Falcons this week. They have the Colts. Another playoff team, another team playing in the playoffs, and then they have
the
Eagles in there, right? I thought they have
the last game of the season against the Eagles.
Yeah, and they have the Eagles.
The third game, and I was going to ask you, they're playing in Buffalo where it's -29. Just want to know if you want to do the show from there.
Yeah, you want to do the show from?
Buffalo.
Minus
29.
No, that's all right. I can't be outside shoveling snow so I can sit down in my seat. Because that's what's going to happen. But when you look, I mean, now we can turn our attention to the Jets. When you look at the Jets, it looked like they love to play. You see Aaron Rodgers, I think he's just happy to be out there because he doesn't know that this may be his last year or not. But he seems like he's having fun out there. And he is getting the ball to all those receivers. I mean, Garrett Wilson is catching a ton of balls. I mean, he's throwing that rock around.
I don't know if you saw the whole thing because I taped it. And then I watched every play. Asante Adams, the wide receiver, put on a show. I had something like 9 receptions, 198 yards, and I think 2 touchdowns. The pass that he caught on the sideline, I can't believe he got his feet in. And then the touchdown run, he had to run through 2 or 3 people. But this is what I'm asking you, Charles. A lot of people say the Jets are wasting time. They're wasting energy. There's no use them go out there trying to beat somebody and trying to, you know, mess up their own draft situation. But I think the more you play, the better you get, and it carries over. So, but I think a lot of people are down on Rodgers, but I'm telling you, the last 3 weeks, he has looked awesome.
And he's running more. He looks more athletic. I just think whatever he might be taking a little something. He might need to get drug tested or something. I don't know. Because he looks like a different cat out there. He's running the ball. He's running for first downs. I'm like, where was this dude the first 17 weeks of the season?
Yeah, but C-Dub, he tore his Achilles tendon. It takes a long time to come back from that. And I think that the more you play, the better you get. And I think that's what's happening. And I think people should just go behind him and let him come back and make the Jets a contender like they have the talent to do.
I think when you look at all the possible job openings in the NFL, I think the Jets is probably the most attractive outside of not having a quarterback or the quarterback position being unknown.
From a coach's standpoint?
Yeah, from a coach's standpoint.
Well, the reason I don't know, because they say that the owner, Woody, meddles too much, Jerry Jones. So I don't know if that's true because, you know, there's only 32 jobs, so I don't know who would turn that down. I would like to see Rex, the old coach, come back. He's campaigning like he's running for president.
I know. Is it good to go with a retread or to hire a coach that nobody knows? Because you know the hot name right now is the offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions. He's the hottest thing since sliced bread right now. And so he's probably definitely going to get a job. You know, he didn't take a job last year, and people wanted him. And now it looks like he may potentially take a position this year. But he probably has the pick of the litter for all the job openings. He's going to probably be number one off the board.
Yeah, but the Jets don't need someone who hasn't done it before. They've gone down that road 3 or 4 times. It just doesn't work. So I would get somebody who's accomplished, who knows what they're doing, and who's done it before, and bring his own staff in and let them do it. Rex Ryan like. It doesn't have to be Rex Ryan, but somebody who's coming here with a resume that he's done it before, because they went to the AFC Championship 2 times. And so I'm the Jet fans are just like you came in last week. You sound like a Jet fan. Oh no, here we go again. Same old Jets. Because I don't want that to happen. I want them to really show their talent and put this whole town in a frenzy.
Yeah, I think this is one of the premier jobs in the NFL that'll be open. I think they have an offense, they have a defense, they have star-studded offensive and defensive players. So I think this is one of the dream jobs. If you want to come in and make a name for yourself, this is the job. You just got to deal with Aaron Rodgers if he decides to come back, because one play, I don't know if you saw it, but in that last 2-minute series, he seemed like he was waving off the coaching staff, like, I got it, I'm calling my own play. I mean, that's the type of stuff you probably have to deal with when you bring in a guy like Aaron Rodgers. And I don't know how many coaches want to deal with that.
Yeah, but the last 2 minutes of a game, or a team goes into a 2-minute offense before the half or at the end of the game, the quarterback should be doing that. Because you know, you know what's happening during the course of the game. Listen, coach, what are you going to tell me? I mean, I just think so. That's the kind of person I would want on my team, is to know what they're doing all, you know, during the courses of the week, studied, and then they know in certain situations. Because, you know, there's so many tendencies in football that you got to study. What do they do on third down, second down, et cetera? I thought he did a good job. Maybe I'm prejudiced, but I like him.
Yeah, and like I said, probably one of the best jobs open in the NFL next year, and I'd like to see who would get that job. And I obviously agree with you, probably more of a veteran type coach would be probably an ideal candidate for that. But now let's take a look at the NFL playoff picture. It's pretty much kind of cleared up outside of the NFC is pretty much jumbled up. I think the Commanders, if they win this week, they have a chance to kind of run away with it, and they won't be able to give up. But obviously, look at the Lions, Eagles, and the Vikings. The Vikings are number 5 just because, and they're the third best team in the NFL, and they're at number 5 just because the Buccaneers and the Rams are division winners. And when you look at the Packers in the same position, that NFC North is tough. They got 4 teams, 3 teams.
Well, last week I watched the Commanders, I watched the Packers, I watched the Vikings. I didn't see the Rams. I saw the Bucks, the Eagles, and the Lions. I watched all those games. Those teams are good. I mean, all of them are good. The Lions' defense is hurting because they've got people injured. I don't think the Seahawks or the Falcons or even the Cardinals have an opportunity at all. But as it comes down the stretch, it's going to be fun for fans to watch these games because every week is a big game on it. So, like I said, I'm looking at the Eagles to be number one because I think they don't have as much injuries. The Eagles last week looked powerful, and they didn't even use Saquon Barkley at all. So, and their defense is playing good. They're getting better. When a team is getting better, that's scary to play against them.
Yeah, I think that number seven, I think the Commanders have a chance to lock up that number seven position.
Yep, I agree with you.
And they have a schedule that allows them to do that. I think the Falcons and the Buccaneers are going to be battling it out for that number three seed. And then the Seahawks, Cardinals, and Rams are going to be battling out for that fourth seed.
Well, Kirk Cousins of the Atlanta Falcons is stealing money. He getting paid money. They ain't doing nothing but throwing interceptions.
I know.
They got a young kid behind him that just got to sit and wait, you know.
And did you notice that this is the last week was the first time they won a game in 4 weeks?
Yep, and he's thrown two interceptions per week for 4 weeks. That's eight interceptions.
That's tough.
It is definitely tough.
So when you look at the AFC, obviously Chiefs, Bills, Steelers, and Texans. You know, the Chiefs are not as intimidating as – they don't look as intimidating as the Eagles look, right? Or even Detroit. I think Detroit came back to life, or maybe it's just a young team, just the rigors of a long season and just had a letdown week. But I think the Eagles, if you look at both AFC and NFC, the Eagles look like a far superior team than any other team in the NFL.
Yeah, but I'm still going to see the Ravens look good last week, maybe because it was against our Giants. The Texans seem like they got better. Steelers took a back seat to the Eagles, and I think that's going to hurt them. The Bills look good. They really do, both offensively and defensively. They still have some problems. And the Chiefs, Pat Mahomes, is hurt. He hurt his ankle, and I think he's going to – it's a high ankle sprain, so I think he's going to miss a couple games. If they allow him to get fresh, you always have a chance. You got to at least admit – you got a quarterback, you got a chance tonight. So that's why I can't give up on the Chiefs. But if I'm going to go right now, I'm favoring the Bills and the Texans to get for the AFC Championship.
Yeah, I think one more week, if the Chargers can find a way to win, and they have a tough game this week, if the Chargers can find a way to win, they can lock up the seventh seed. Obviously, they won't overtake the Chiefs. So they're battling for a wild card position. I don't think it's the Chargers and the Broncos, really, which will be a good game this week.
Wow.
Sean has done a great job in the NFC West, and the NFC West is like the AFC West is like the NFC North, where you got the Broncos, Chargers, and Chiefs in that division.
Well, this is scary because any team on any day can do it. I just hope that the Steelers step up because they look like they took a back seat last week. The Ravens, I think if they come in healthy with Lamar and their running game, if they do it the right way, they should be in the championship game.
Yeah, I honestly, when you look at the top five, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Steelers, Texans, and the Ravens, if you want to rank them from 1 to 5, yeah, obviously Chiefs and the Bills are 1-2, and I would even say 1A to the Bills just because they look like a really good team recently. Yep. Steelers is probably 4 or 5 just because I don't like how they played. I think when you look at the Ravens and how they played, it's still going to come down to, and I will say this until my last dying breath, it's going to come down to Lamar Jackson. If Lamar Jackson plays like a MVP-type quarterback, they win. If he plays like he has no clue at the quarterback position like he sometimes does, they won't win. Texans, they're disappointing. For some reason, they don't look like the Texans team of last year. I think they lost a step for some reason. And I don't know if that's paying attention to detail. So, I mean, I think the Steelers are behind the Texans based on the performance against the Eagles, but I like what the Texans are doing. So Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, Texans, and Steelers.
I agree with that. And the thing about it is that we have some good football coming up. The bad thing is that only 3 weeks left in the season. The NFL season goes so long. We were 4-4 last week. we got to figure out some way to break these ties, you know, because I figured one of them is going to win. But anyway, what's our first game this week?
You got the Broncos versus the Chargers. Tough game. They're playing in L.A. I always hate betting against the Sean Payton, but the Chargers definitely need to win this game more than the Broncos. I'm going with the Chargers.
Okay, I'm going with the Chargers also. I didn't want to, but I'm going to go in with it anyway.
All right, Texans and the Chiefs. I think this is the game that the Chiefs finally lose. I'm not impressed with the Texans, but I'm going to go with C.J. Stroud and the Texans, reluctantly.
Okay. I'm going with the Chiefs because I know you can't be a Super Bowl team unless everybody's good.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Steelers, Ravens. For some unknown reason, I like what the Ravens did. I was disappointed in what the Steelers did. I'm going with the Ravens.
I'm going to go with you on the Ravens. I also was disappointed in the Steelers. I hate to because I like their coach.
Falcons, Giants. I'm going with the Falcons. It's a playoff game for them. They have to win.
I wish I could go, but I can't. They got that plane flying over Giant Stadium. I'm this. And I got two videos for people doing it. So I'm going with the Falcons also.
You got the Rams versus the Jets. Every time I do this, I know I'm making a mistake. I'm gonna go with the Jets flying across country. Hopefully the Rams are jet lagged. I love what the Jets did last week. Hopefully it wasn't a mirage. I'm going with the Jets.
I'm going with the Rams. So you're going with the Jets, and I'm going with the Rams. Go ahead.
Eagles, Commanders. This is going to be a game to see if the Commanders are for real. I think their head coach has them playing very well. This is going to be a make it or break it game. I'm going. You know what? The Eagles can't win 11 in a row. I'm going with the Commanders.
All right, you make it easy for me. I'm going with the Eagles. You're going with the Commanders.
All right. I kind of screwed up. It's not
yes,
the Chiefs, the Browns. It's Cardinals, Panthers is the next game. I'm going with the Cardinals. They have to win.
Cardinals, Panthers, and you're going with the Panthers?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going with the Cardinals. So BT's going with the Cardinals?
No, I'm going with the Cardinals. With the Cardinals.
Okay, then we're both going with the Cardinals then.
All right, Browns, Bengals. I just don't trust Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston, man. I'm going, and at least Joe Burrow, they're still in the hunt for a playoff spot, albeit slim. I'm going with the Bengals.
Well, what did Jameson Witten say about it? The Lord, something, their mind wants to turn the ball over, and something like that.
I don't even know. I'm glad I didn't hear it.
I'm glad I can't recite it. Go ahead.
Titans and the Colts. I'm going with the Colts. They got to win this game.
I'm going with the Titans because they seem to be playing loose. BT Titans, CW Colts.
Lions, Bears. I think the Bears have given up. They haven't been playing well ever since they fired their coach. I'm going with the Lions.
I'm going with them, too, because they gave up too many points last week, and they got to shore it up before the playoffs. And he went for an onside kick, which I think was a bad move.
Yep, I agree. Vikings versus the Seahawks. I think the Vikings got to keep pace. They have a chance. Now that Detroit has lost the game, they feel as though they have a chance to win that division. I'm going with the Vikings, even though the Seahawks need to win as well.
I'm going with the Seahawks. You're going with the Vikings.
Patriots, Bills, there's no doubt about it. It's the Bills.
Not even a question.
Jaguars, Raiders. Unfortunately, I love my man AP, but he just doesn't have a good team. I'm going with the Jaguars.
Oh, my goodness, boy. I'm going to go with the Raiders in an upset.
What?
Raiders in an upset. You're going with the Jaguars. I'm going with the Raiders.
Dolphins, 49ers. Dolphins, even though they lost last week, they're still playing hard. I'm going with the Dolphins.
I'm going to go with the Dolphins, too, because they're playing at home. They don't do nothing on the road, and they're playing at home this week.
Buccaneers, Cowboys. Cowboys played well last week, but I think the Buccaneers need to win this game. The last three games are playoff games for the Buccaneers, so I'm going with the Bucs.
I'm going with the Cowboys, which I hate to do, and you're going with the Bucs.
You got Saints, Packers. Packers need to win this. Like everybody else, I'm going with the Packers.
I'm going with the Packers also. So we got the Texans and the Chiefs. We have the Eagles and the Commanders. We have the Titans and the Colts. We have the Vikings and the Seahawks. We got the Jaguars and the Raiders. And then we got the Bucs and the Cowboys.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens next week. But great job, Charles. Billy Taylor, Charles Wade, we're each and every week. We're on YouTube. You get a chance to check your local listings and check out the Expressway with Billy Taylor, the BT Express, and Charles Show Me the Way. For all of us, happy holiday, and we will see you soon on the Expressway. Have a nice day, you guys. Thanks for joining us.
This is
This is
This is Alumni Media.